We've heard from our kids, and now I'd like us to hear from God. So our deacon, Scott Fraser, is going to come and read for us the text that'll be provided on the screen here behind me, and also the text that's going to be provided, that's already provided in the devotion guides that you have. I hope that you brought with you. They're green in cover. So Scott, if you'll come and read for us the text for this morning.
In the spirit of the kid's story this morning, I have to tell you one story. The teacher watching the little kid drawing a picture in school, what are you drawing? I'm drawing a picture of God. But no one knows what God looks like. The little kid said, they will in a minute. This is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to welcome strangers. By doing that, some people have welcomed angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. And remember those who are treated badly as if you yourselves were suffering. All of you should honor marriage. You should keep the marriage bed pure. God will judge the person who commits adultery. He will judge everyone who commits sexual sins. Don't be controlled by love for money. Be happy with what you have. God has said, I will never leave you. I will never desert you. So we can say boldly, the Lord helps me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere man do to me? Remember your leaders. They spoke God's word to you. Think about the results of their way of life. Copy their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you, Scott. Text does have a lot of powerful words and phrases in it, and one of the things that I wanted to do over this series is to have our deacons and our leaders read for us, because as we learn to become better believers, we need to rely on each other. We can't do it alone. That's one of the powerful truths about church, is that we come here so that we don't have to do it alone, so that we learn from each other how to live life, becoming better believers. Becoming better believers, parents of potential. Why would I say parents of potential? Don't we think that we've arrived? Are we already parents and that's it? No, that's not it. Being parents of potential, let me just draw your attention to kind of two areas of thought. First of all, you're all parents. In the first context, if you are a parent and have children, you are by definition going to share things with them just because you live, just because you parented them, gave birth to them. So for you, those of you that are parents, thinking about what you give to the next generation, we're going to talk about that context. But when we look at another sphere, and that's the church, all of you are parents to these kids. You're parents because just by being here, you're an example. So we are all parents. So when I use that word parents of potential, that includes you, whether you have children, biological children or not. You are parents of potential. Why would I say potential? Potential because even though you may think you have a lot to offer as a parent, you've not fully matured. There's still things that you will learn from God that you will share with the next generation to follow you. I hope that you have aha moments in which you say, thank you, Lord, for teaching me that. And I'll share it with the next generation. Until your dying day, you will provide an example to those that follow, good or bad. So all of you are parents of potential. When we think of parents of potential, last week we looked at children of promise, what we receive from our leaders. Today I want you to think about the other hand connection, and that is what we receive, we give on. We, by definition as humans, do it anyways. You'd have to be a hermit living alone in the in a forest somewhere to not do this. Living in community means that you share things, whether you like it or not. So when we look at this becoming better believers, I hope that you have had an opportunity to get this written guide. If you haven't, green cover, it's there at the back on your way out. And the purpose for it is that you can think about the text and work along with the text and the questions that we have there as we work through this, to really be able to share with each other. And when we think about this effect of becoming better believers, Sports Sunday, next Sunday, and when we think about being wise contributors in our communities, as we become better believers, of course, I want you to be able to share as well. So at the end of when I share this morning, I want your perspectives, anything that you want to share as we consider this. But let me first say this. What are we to believe? If we are becoming better believers, then there's something that we believe. In fact, I didn't say becoming better Christians. I didn't say becoming better members. I said becoming better believers. Key thing. What are we to believe? Well, we see here in verse 5, what are we to believe? We're to believe what the writer of Hebrews writes here from Psalm and Hebrews, old text from the point of view of truth that's been handed on for countless generations. What are we to believe? Verse 5. God has said, I will never leave you. I'll never desert you. The Lord helps me, verse 6. I will not be afraid. What can mere man, what can people around me, what can our society, what can philosophies, what can people do to us when God's on our side? What are we to believe? As parents of potential, God with us, He will work through us to the next generation. His Holy Spirit's with us to guide us. We can't ultimately totally go wrong when we're relying on God to direct us. That's what we are to believe. God is with us. So we can become fearless parents. We can become bold mentors as we share God's word with others, spiritual mentors. How does this happen? Well, a couple weeks ago, we considered what is the power that's going on? Well, first of all, your decisions. You deciding to become a good parent to the children that are here in whatever ways that you're connected to them. And the Holy Spirit working in you, as God said He would never leave you, He's working from the inside out while you work from the outside in. He's creating you to become parents with realized potential. That's believing. And it is a process, of course, in becoming. So as we become, well, what are we supposed to take from this text in terms of how we become better parents? What are we to do? Well, it's not hard to see from here. Follow the verbs. Verse 1. Keep on loving each other. Verse 2, welcome strangers, be hospitable to others. Verse 3, share, empathize, sympathize with those that are under duress, those that are treated badly, even if they're in prison. There's different prisons of our society. People around us that are trapped by these things, we're to love them so much, empathize, sympathize with them, that we take their position as best we can. Number 4, honor marriage. Honor your marriage. 5, be content and generous and form unbreakable bonds between the last generation and the next. Holding out your hands, it says, remember your leaders. Take what's good from your leaders from last week and extend it to the next generation. That's how we're becoming. That's how we become. We do those things. How do we become better? Well, we become better through accepting what God has given to us and knowing God's word as the evaluator for what's good. Guess what? Some of the things that your parents gave to you are not worth repeating. Don't relive them, because when you look at the word of God, they've broke some of those principles. I break those principles. I hope my sons one day can say to me, Ken, or Dad, the things that you've done in life that have been according to the Word of God, we love that and we'll continue doing it. And the times you've messed up, we've forgiven you and gone on, and we're not doing them again. That's awesome. At the end, it says here, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've heard that phrase before, wondered what that phrase means before, and then it hit me this week as I studied this. Jesus Christ is always relevant. There's no generation that isn't loved by Him. There's no generation that's not redeemed by Him. There's no generation that has needs in life that He can't satisfy. There's no generation, past or future, that's going to come along and say, we've matured, evolved, we've gotten past Jesus, we really don't need him. No way. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll always be applicable. Always, his life will always be relevant. You may struggle with that and say, oh, Ken, the world's changed so much. Lots of philosophies out there. We're 2,000 years since he lived. We're looking at his words. It's proof. I'm not Jewish. I'm not from his culture. I wouldn't have understood the language he spoke in. And yet I love his words. What is that about him? He's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how does that apply to us in terms of us being mentors, us being parents, us being spiritual helpers to those that come after us? This is the other thing the Holy Spirit led me into that I just think is awesome. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He was called the Word. Okay? How do you connect with the God who is eternal in your life as parents' potential? Well, the Word, takes your life, works through that life so that those that are sitting here can say, I want to live like these people did. Because God's Word was evident in their lives, and that's what I want to live. You see, God's Word is the eternal power that works through previous generations, comes into our generation, and extends to the next generation. We join with the Word, Jesus Christ, who is eternal, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we do not pass away like heaven and earth because we are becoming the Word of God. It flows through us. So in 50 years, in 100 years, I hope there's a family member of yours that says, you know, my grandmother, my grandfather, my aunt, my uncle, my friend at church lived the Word of God, and I believe today because of it. That's incredible. The power of God coming alive in my life so that those who follow Christ. Incredible. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is inescapable. You are indelibly connected to those who follow you. Indelibly connected. So I challenge you, in terms of becoming better believers, be emulatable. Allow God's Word and what you believe to translate into your action. I want to pause here for a moment and ask you to think of three people. If you have a pen and you have your booklets out there, you can put their initials, you can write their names. I want you to think of three people. In your minds, I want you to think of a person who's 10 years younger than you. Now don't look around. Don't say, oh, yeah. A person that's 10 years younger than you. Now think of life stage. Think of a person 10 years younger than you. Have you got their name in your mind? Written down their initial? Think of that person who's 10 years younger than you. Okay? First person, someone that's 10 years younger than you. Second person I want you to have in your mind. A person who has wandered away from the faith. Who is younger than you? A person that no longer comes to church, wouldn't identify themselves as a Christian, although they were raised in the church. Think of that person. You got that person in your mind? Person that's 10 years younger. Person that's wandered away from their faith. Left it, rejected it. And third, a person who's younger than you, who's in church, who's living their life, who's struggling as well, to seek out God's work in them. Okay? Got those three people in your mind? Person 10 years younger, person that's wandered away from the faith, and a person that's in the faith and working it as well, those three people. Okay? Now, just want to share this with you. This, we've been looking at this as a council and as a deacon's board. It's called Hemorrhaging Faith. It's a study that's been done of 18 to 24-year-olds and why they leave the church. They found in this study that was done just recently that 70% of those that were raised in the church between 18 and 24 are leaving the church, finding it irrelevant, choosing not to be involved anymore. I know, when I say those words, some of those number twos come into your mind. 70% are leaving the church. This study, which we're looking at as a council, and the study was ordered by Don, I understand, in terms of looking into it. I just want to raise some of those points about the study just for you to think about in terms of how we invest ourselves in others. This is what it said. In terms of us becoming a more potent parents or more potent group of parents of potential, this is what the study called us to do. As a church, be vibrant and authentic. Be a real church. Really pursuing our faith out. First thing it said, if we want to draw people back to their faith, a relationship with Jesus Christ, be authentic and be real. Second thing, have an empowering teaching and beliefs that impact them, that transmits the values that we heard up here to them. Third thing is it says this, have the organic freedom for people in church to find out on their own, in the context of community, but with their own pursuit, who God is. Allow them to pursue things. Allow them to question. Let it be organic. That was the three things they said from a church point of view. And for those of you that are parents, children at home, here was the three things they challenged us as parents. Here was two things they challenged with us as parents. Number one, those who stayed in the church, 30% of those 18 to 24-year-olds who stayed in the church had dedicated Christ followers as parents. They also defined them as spiritually engaged parents. They pray with them. They read the Bible with them. Their faith's real. Second thing is that at home, for a 18 to 24-year-old or for a youth to have a tangible experience with God meant that they would be connected to church in the future. We can talk about those later as well, but let me just give you a couple quotes. Reg Bibby and Don Pastirski, a couple of sociologists who are kind of experts in this field, said this. First of all, relational links and involvement that touches family life and the child's life are so critically important that at the end of the day, the question of who will stay and who will go depends on their ability to define their involvement as worthwhile. When do we allow children to be part of church? When will they be involved? If we wait until they're 35 before they can be involved in church, they'll be gone. Church is not about people at a certain age organizing things. Church is about everybody participating. Okay? Interesting quote. Here's another one from Don Pastirski. In terms of the long-term stability of spiritual centeredness, the family's actually more important than the church. If you look at the barriers and drivers, modeling and consistency of life, there is no greater predictor for spiritual perseverance than the family you're brought up in. It goes back to that authenticity. As parents, it goes back to that sense of have a pursuit with God. Your children most likely follow. A couple of vital questions for the church. How do we assist parents nurturing their kids? How do we support them in a dimension of spiritual formation? Second question is this. How do we, at transition points of a person's life, help people in their faith? Here are the transitions points. Going from children to young teens. What do we do in that life stage? Teens to adults. Maturation. Going to school. Marriage. Childbirth. Family breakup. Change of pastors. These transitions, this study found, are critical in terms of people leaving the church. But we as a church need to address what we do when people are struggling through change in their lives. Kind of makes sense when you think about it. Transitions are critical. Now, in our church, for those of you that maybe don't know, for those of church, we have a formal process whereby we are seeking to connect with children and with youth. Ministry to children and youth. Grace Fong is our representative at council. that deals with the issues of connecting with children and youth. There's Janet helps her. There's a committee as well, the CE committee that some of you are part of. Invest in that. We have a formal process that we go through. Does it need help? It always needs help from the point of view that we always have opportunity to connect and help kids and those younger than us grow. Grace Fong's the person that heads that up. It's seen in the bulletin. We've been asking for a while for people to help. I know that many of you already do help, and that's excellent. When we think about this as a church, there's still room for us to grow. There's still ways for us to connect. There's ways that we've connected in the past that we no longer do. There's great ways for us to invest. I want to ask a couple questions, and then I want to kind of open it up for you to share as well in terms of some of your perspectives on this. But let me ask you these questions to kind of start the discussion. In your devotion guides, it asks this question: who is going to remember you fondly? Think about it. Think about the people that are 10 years younger than you. Is there someone that will remember you fondly because you love them? Is there someone 20 years younger than you that will be at your funeral and will remember you fondly? Is there someone 30 years younger than you that says, what a great example? I hope we have the courage to be able to say it to each other while we're still living. But perhaps there's someone 40 years younger than you that will say, wow, what a great example in our church. Who will remember you fondly? I challenge you to take those four areas, 10, 20, 30, 40, write down some names there. Maybe we'll challenge you to say, you know, that person in church, that younger person, maybe I just need to ask how they're doing a little bit more. Maybe I need to pray for them more. It's not about funeral attendance. It is about investing in your lives. Second question is this: where do I influence the next generation the most? Where are you on in terms of transmitting your values? Is it as a coach? Is it as a teacher? Is it at work? Is it here in church? Where is that area, that sphere in which people look to you because they want to emulate you? Emulate the good in you. Maybe it's at home. Where is that sphere? And don't be blind to the fact that if that's happening, they're looking at you. They're watching you. What other examples do they have in life of how to live except you or other people around you? People live the experiences of other people. A challenge for you. Find someone that's younger in our church, not necessarily a child. Ask them three questions and listen to the answers. Janet, I kind of began that a little bit this morning in terms of asking kids some of their questions, but really listen to the answers. Find out who they are. Another one, pray that God introduces you to someone else to mentor. Here's the last one. Maybe a little bit of a challenge. Plan your funeral. It's going to be on your headstone. It really reminds us the fact that we only have a short time to influence the next generation. A short time to invest in others. We're all at different stages. And to look at parents of potential, it's so wide that even this size of a group, it's challenging to understand what we do together. So let me just mention this. Number one, if you have generations of followers, if you're at the stage of life where lots of people you've influenced lots of people, and you wonder about your influence, well, I challenge you to finish well. Continue to give of yourself as you can and pray for those, us, me, that follow you. If you're retired from work and you're happily have your own time and your own schedule to do what you'd like, ask God who and how you balance your time within the context of your life to be able to invest in the next generation strategically. Mentor young leaders, your children, your grandchildren, and do it specifically. If you find that you're in the middle and you're tugged both from parents who need you and children who need you, extend the good that you experience from your parents and from your spiritual mentors, and if you can and you see it, give it right to the next generation. your mother reflects upon something that's experienced in her life that's been good, tell your children right away. What a great way to transmit that value. Extend the good based on the Bible. Evaluate it that way. Spiritually, prioritize your time. If you find that you're just overwhelmed, there's so many things going on, it's probably some reprioritization that needs to go on just in order to breathe. We just get too busy in life. Toronto is a city that amazes me in terms of we can get so busy with stuff and we have to reprioritize. That's the truth. Seek a mentor yourself and ask God to be authentic to those that you are influencing. If you're still trying to align your influences, you're still trying to determine just where do I go in life, read those people in the Bible who are excellent mentors from Scripture. Joseph, Jacob, and even his ups and downs of life. Ruth, Deborah. Look for those leaders. If you're a child in age, stage, or relationship, accept a mentor. Accept the good that comes from someone else. I find one of the richest things in my life is the mentors who speak into my life and give me those aha moments. Never thought about it that way. Thank you so much, because now I can take a different route. Accepting a mentor. Seek wisdom and humble yourself. It's a big challenge, I think, that we find in terms of parents and potential. There's a lot of guilt that's levied upon us because of all the demands in our life in terms of how are we as parents? Shouldn't we be doing this, 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 this? It takes godly priorities and godly reprioritization to say, God, work through me, inside and out, to do what you'd have in the next generation. As we do this, of course, we pursue it in prayer. It's a journey, a walk that we go on. There's some beautiful vistas in life that we go through that we can celebrate together. Janet and I and the boys were laughing last night at a movie we were watching. It was a great time together. There's some great spots along the way in life that you can enjoy. And through those spots, even the challenges that you go through in life as you lead others around you, there's still good that flows through you as parents' potential.